Backseat Producers, episode number 122, Home for the Holidays. This is Tony.
Hey, this is Daryl.
This is Sarah.
This is Chris.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
Sarah's already gone.
Man.
Fight me.
Jeez.
All right, what are we doing next week?
Next week we are doing My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And are not going to be here.
I've actually already even seen that movie. Well, it is Greek. It was required watching. Mm. So I'll just talk about that movie tonight.
All right, that's fine.
We're going to take two drinks because Adam hasn't seen tonight's movie.
I have seen
That's
tonight's
true.
Movie.
He's seen tonight's movie. He talked about it on Twitter.
Spit those drinks back into your glass.
Okay, just
check it. You've already swallowed it. Don't spit it out of your stomach. That's called vomiting. We don't want that.
Just in case you guys haven't noticed, it's going to be one of those things.
And just for point of reference, We have Google Wave accounts, most of us, and we're using them. One of the things we're using them for is to collate a drinking game for the Backseat Producers.
By the way, I can give you the code to embed a wave inside of a web page.
That would be fantastic.
I have perfected the code.
Awesome.
So. And by perfected the code, I mean copied
stole it,
it
from somewhere else.
Shamelessly from someone else.
That's
copied
fine.
It directly from the Google API tutorial.
That's fine. That's the way I do things too.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have worked with me at FSS.
Yeah, we also...
I keep thinking that's for me, and then I'm going to have to drive. I'm like, whoa, oh, wait, I'm not drinking that.
I'm not drinking. It's okay.
We're also creating waves for each new episode as we record them, so the people listening in the chat room can... you people done? Jesus.
Do you have business to get to?
I think I was doing business.
Yeah, one of the things I want to do is I want to put a directory of waves on the website
For
the individual episodes. And I think I can actually get the code to do that for you.
Excellent. That would be fantastic.
Of course, I would have to log into our website. That hasn't happened in a while.
I don't know if I can do that, man. I don't know.
How by now somebody's probably written a WordPress plugin for Wave.
No. You'd Not be surprised yet. How few
really?
Plugins there are for you. I mean, because the API and the customization stuff is still all a mess.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's still all in flux. Things are changing quite a bit. It used to be, like, they used to use the term muting. Now it's...
Unfollow.
Unfollow in the inbox.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Well, anyway, moving back to...
What we were theoretically talking about?
Yeah.
We're talking about Home for the Holidays. I'm just saying. Oh, and next week we will have a different special guest who's not here tonight. The person who selected the movie.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Is she a secret?
Trying to work that out. Oh, you gave away the gender.
Is your wife a secret? Is your wife a secret?
Oh, you guys.
She is secret.
Oh, you guys are asses.
Boy, you finally get the chance to call somebody a name instead of you being the one called a name. All right.
I am.
Also, if anybody needs a wave invite, shoot me an email.
I've got a couple.
I've got some
that I think.
I haven't gotten any to give out. I'm kind of sad.
I've got.
Be like Tony Mass and have like 80 wave accounts.
Yeah, I know. I counted
there is that
last week.
There is that.
You start an entire wave with like 20 people and they're all Tony.
This is true. You know, I even have a wave invite that I haven't used yet. So
okay.
Send it to my account that's got my screen name.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
All right.
Because the problem is my screen name and my real name never cross paths. I've done that for a reason.
My real name is my real name everywhere, except
name
for
is your screen.
except where I use Pimp of the Internet or Backseat Producers. All right.
Manhole.
That's empty.
The manhole. Yeah. It's my favorite bar.
Does Table Saw have one yet?
I don't know. Well, it does not have
a wave
account. Oh, Table Saw needs a wave account.
We can make that happen.
I can actually write
a plugin that you can add Table Saw to a wave and,
a
then,
bot.
And then it That's randomly posts and all it is just like a player to an MP3.
I miss Table Saw.
Do it. Do it.
It's in the ward.
All right. Okay. I don't even
Home for the Holidays.
That's what we're talking about. High level review. What do you got?
I sense a drinking coming. I hated this movie. Just flat out hated this movie.
Why didn't you like it?
Because nothing happened, and the only redeeming part of this movie was Robert Downey Jr. Because everything he did was hilarious.
I agree that Robert Downey Jr. was hilarious.
That's your high level thought. Let's move on. Let's get through the high level thoughts, then we'll come back to it.
Dear?
My taste in comedy has totally changed.
Wow, that's weird. That was really weird.
It's like deer.
Daryl starts talking. Oh wow.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those.
Oh my god.
I thought I was gonna be the issue tonight. Apparently not. Oh,
wow.
Daryl's hardcore. He started at noon.
Actually started yesterday.
Going down. Way ahead of me.
Daryl's 68 hours into a 72 hour bender.
I wish I could laugh when the ribs are broken. That hurts even more.
Oh my god!
Hurry up, Sam!
I'm gonna have to edit just this large chunk out of this episode.
Yeah, so
why?
I'm sorry.
Hey, those guys
are biking it too.
They're all being asses. So go ahead, I'm listening, Daryl.
I've got Oxy, I'll share. Daryl.
No, I don't quite need that much Oxy.
Alright, moving on. Wow.
Finish your drink,
pour another. Finish your drink, pour another.
Oh, man.
Mm. Holy cow.
So go ahead, Daryl. Go ahead.
High level review. Daryl, what did you think?
My taste in comedy has changed over the last 15 years. I didn't really enjoy this movie very much either. I think the Ken Burns style of movies just don't do it for me no more.
Did anybody other than Chris and I like this movie?
I consumed this movie 3 times in the last 3 days. Just because I tried to get it. I tried to get... Because you guys said you really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was trying to...
In the interest of full disclosure, Sarah and I talked Tony into this movie.
Yeah. I mean, that was... Well, and the idea was we wanted to do a Thanksgiving movie. Yeah.
And this,
so there's,
and
there are limited
concerned.
There are limited options. There's
as
like
far as I'm concerned,
this and,
like Home Alone.
Well, Home Alone's Christmas.
Oh, that is Christmas, isn't
and
it?
And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, which I adore and he does not, so...
Beside the point, I watched the movie, and my high-level review is it felt like somebody was trying really hard to make a Cameron Crowe movie, and they didn't quite make it.
Take a drink. Who's Cameron Crowe?
Oh, God.
Cameron Crowe being the guy who wrote Almost Famous.
Say Anything Singles.
Say Anything Singles.
Take a drink. Haven't seen it. Take a drink. Haven't seen it. Take
Times at Richmond High.
Fast Times.
Oh, I've seen Fast Times at Richmond High.
Directed and wrote Say Anything. Directed and wrote Singles. Jerry Maguire.
You haven't seen
Almost Famous.
Elizabeth Town.
Vanilla Sky. Elizabeth Town.
Wait. The original Vanilla Sky or the remake?
The remake.
Remake.
Oh, God. The remake was terrible. Oh.
Okay. Anyway, it felt like it could have been done better. I mean, that's just kind of the...
Stupid Jodie Foster.
I don't blame Jodie Foster.
No, I'm just trying to Jodie contribute Foster with whatever problems. Pieces of information that demonstrate that I watched the movie.
Again, we're looking back at a movie that was made...
All you've done so far,
ago.
All you've that's done so far terrible. Is demonstrate that you've read the Wikipedia article.
This movie's made...
You haven't convinced me of anything else yet.
This movie made 15 years ago. This may have been hilarious back by that time, but it just doesn't work anymore.
And I wouldn't say it was hilarious. I thought it went for dark, and there was one scene that they took way too long to get to that was kind of the payoff, and then there was a long lead out to the point. You know, without
You mean
the gist section, of the movie.
The section titled The Point, probably.
Yes, that was pretty awesome.
Yes. Well, you have to have title blocks telling you what the plot point, well, where the story's going. It's not a good sign.
All right.
Except that that's not the only
one. I don't think that was a function of a good sign. Or a bad sign. I think that was a choice, a stylistic choice of the way to tell the story.
Because of sin, that was Ken Burns had been using that in documentaries, and everybody was kind of enamored with that.
At the time, yeah.
That episodic type of filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. All right, you two rock out your high level review.
Go ahead.
Not really.
Because I made you watch it. Because of my family.
Well, I think.
I'm going to come back to that.
I think that I enjoy the movie, but I also think it's because of the level of dysfunction in my family.
Oh, you're okay.
And in Sarah's family, in which we both watched the movie today and are consistently reminded of various people in both of our families,
including ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I think that's kind of the point is that everybody has those people in their families, some of them to much greater degree than others. But everybody's got an effed up family.
This is my problem with the movie. It's like, this family is effed up. Yeah, don't have any experience with that.
Yeah.
I enjoy holidays with my family because my family is freaking awesome.
Okay, except my level of I can't even talk. Can I?
While Sarah's getting it together and having another drink.
Water?
I'm really freshen that up for you.
My experience with it is, this is the holidays. And I don't enjoy the holidays with my family or with anybody's family, for that matter, because it's so horrifically painful. So.
And that was the thing, that both my parents are still married, which is very odd in this day and age.
To each other.
Wow.
Mine.
And, well, like I tell people, Michael was born in 65.
One of mine doesn't even like the opposite gender anymore, so...
He really wins with that. Like, y'all can talk about divorces, he wins with that whole... thing. My brother was born in 65. I was born in 72. The younger brother was born in 83. Our family is very odd in that, except that when you go one step above in my family, it's not strange. Mm. My family on both sides is very, very odd. And I thought it was very normal growing up until I started talking to people and I realized, no, my family is actually... that strange. My family is that off kilter. And as I got older and I realized that myself and Adam, your parents, are still married.
Yeah.
Which, to each other. Which
unfortunately is
be that as it may. Anyway, Daryl, I don't know if your parents are still married or not.
50 years.
Okay. Actually, the four of us, even though we're in the majority at this table, we're actually in the minority. Most of the people are in our generations. Our parents still being married is very odd.
That's unusual to have in a group of five people of this age to have four of us with parents that are still married. That's kind of unusual.
It is kind of unusual.
22 minutes. Thank you.
And my parents...
actually 13.
And two of my best friends, their parents are still married to each other. And they're the same age as I am. Their parents are still married to each other. And I thought it was normal until I hit high school and I realized, ooh, no, most everybody's parents, they were blended families. And watching Home for the Holidays, I really enjoyed it, number one, because the parents were still married and they were screwed up and they were bizarre and they danced in the living room and they still loved each other, which in my family, even in my extended family, is a reality.
Mm-hmm.
To most other people, it is not.
My parents haven't been married since I was 10. So,
you know, and actually Chris's mom and stepdad were married longer than his mom and dad were.
Yeah.
So that was odd. I mean, that was one of the things that endeared me to this movie is it showed what? Go ahead.
This is episode 22, 122.
Mm-hmm.
A nod statement of just completely tangential about what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Next episode, Backseat Producers will have more regular episodes than Fanboy Smackdown did. Just saying. Anyway, go on.
What was Fanboy Smackdown?
It was Backseat Producers.
It was Proto Backseat Producers.
The first 61 episodes were Fanboy Smackdown. So from episode 62 to now.
This is a much better
name. Yes.
information, name, I don't know.
It was a name change.
Now suddenly I understand a whole bunch more jokes that you guys make. How about that? Because when I don't make a joke, like Francis, when I don't get a joke, I just nod and laugh.
It runs actually, producers family. Has noticeably less percentage of deuce, which is a problem.
It is.
I'm going to throw Tony 2.
You met him. Oh, I met Tony 2.
Yeah, you
yes,
met him.
I did.
Yeah, Tony 2 is awesome.
Yeah, Tony 2 is awesome. So,
yeah.
See, but that was one of the things that endeared me to it was here was a family that, like my family, is, I don't want to say intact because that's insulting to even my family. I'm remarried and have children from two different marriages. But it was one of the things that endeared me was it had a set of parents that even with these horrific qualities, they're still married. And I enjoyed the whole thing. And even watching it again, because 2 weeks ago, I spent an extended amount of time, as far as I'm concerned, with my... What's
Speed.
T2? Okay. I spent an extended amount of time...
This
with
is
my,
why we're never doing live shows for the podcast.
My extended family. And I am still telling Chris absolutely hysterical stories from the extended family stay because I took my daughter with me to a funeral, a family funeral, and Jessica learned that it doesn't matter how old you are, your parents are still crazy. You can be 14, you can be 24, you can be 40. Guess what? Parents are crazy. How about that? They make you drink.
So allow me to sum up.
We're embarrassed the hell out of you.
Oh, God, yes, that too. My father playing cartoons with the remote on the rental car because he had setting the car alarm. Dad thought it was cute to continue playing songs and rhythms on that.
That is funny.
Oh, no. No, it is
that
not.
Is hilarious.
You and my dad are the only two people in the universe who think that's funny, dude.
No,
I'm just telling
good.
You now. Oh, my God.
If you could change the speaker to make fart noises, it would be even better.
So allow me to sum up. I think the reason Sarah enjoys this movie so much is because there's so many things in it she can identify with.
Yes.
And characters in particular that she can identify with.
Yes.
Yeah,
especially
that's my problem
Holly
with the movie.
Hunter. I really, really, really identify with Holly Hunter in this movie. I really do.
So you kissed your 60-some-year-old boss?
Answer the question, I think.
Just asking the question.
Yeah. See, this was my problem with the movie.
I don't think I've had a 60-something-year-old boss, but...
It feels like they only had one shtick, and it was the, hey, this is a messed up family. All right, what else you got? No, that's it.
I thought there were a lot of different levels about why the family was messed up.
It was still because the family was messed up. And I'm like, all right, what else we have?
We have the gay brother. We have the sister who has control issues, who's married to the complete lunatic. I mean, I thought there were several different levels to that. There wasn't just a shtick of the family is messed up. The family is messed up is an overarching...
I know, but that's the one thing. I mean,
that was the one thing the movie was about.
What? Somebody to break into the house because the kid got left alone at the airport and had to go back home?
This is what I thought was going to happen. When Robert Downey Jr. is carving that turkey, I thought the knife was going to go into someone. And I was like, that old man is going to eat it. He is going to eat it hard. And then what happens, I was like, oh, come on. That's not funny. When is the old man going to eat it?
I don't know. Watching them dump the turkey on the sister who irritated the shit out of me.
And then lifting the turkey out of her lap and over the top of her head.
For me...
All right.
I could think of three people that could happen to.
Let's do this the way we always do. Let's talk about the talent in the movie, the acting talent.
Okay. The movie didn't lack for talent at all. There are a lot of very talented actors in this movie. Now, whether or not they did a good job, that's an entirely different story. But there is a lot of talent in this movie.
There is a lot of talent in this movie, and I'll go ahead and throw out there. I'll start out the conversation. I think if this is an example of Jodie Foster's directing ability, we need to talk about either getting some lessons or getting back in front of the camera.
Was that one of her first?
I'm not sure.
The movie was made in '95.
Yeah,
so
it was her second director.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with with Jodie Foster as a director.
This show's even better when you haven't seen the movie.
I thought there was a David O'Gon. There were really two standout performances, and one of them was not Robert Downey Jr.
What was it? Anne Bancroft?
No.
Who was
actually,
this movie?
It was Charles Durning.
Yeah.
Which I thought he
was awesome.
Incredible. He was the old man.
Did you want to hug him?
I wanted to hug him and then buy him a drink.
Yes.
Especially at the end. Because,
oh, God.
Because there's a couple of scenes at the end that he just owns this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just like, it slams it home. And he's so good in it. The other one was Aunt Gertie.
Aunt Gladdy.
Aunt Gladdy.
Oh, Eugene Chaplin.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Who is a chaplain?
She is the daughter of Charlie Chaplin. She played her grandmother in the movie Chaplin with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. In fact, which was made after this.
Before.
The thing about the one who played the dad, when he came down to the end, it just really... You wanted to hug him and buy him a drink.
Yeah.
He was sitting there wondering... what the hell happened? And, you know, obviously I'm not the same age, but I wonder the same thing. How the hell did my kids get to be 15 and 16? I have no clue how that happened. And I'm sure when my oldest child turns 40, I'm going to drink myself and drink in the basement and watch home movies because I'm going to have no clue what is going on. I'm not going to...
Yeah, I thought and as Chris, far as the acting talent went, those guys were the standout performances.
Anne Bancroft, you didn't like Anne Bancroft?
She was all right, but
I've always liked Anne Bancroft.
She was good.
Who the hell was Anne Bancroft?
She's the mom.
Are you asking who she is like as a person? She was married to...
No. Who is she in the movie?
Okay.
Yeah, she was all right, but that character I've seen... before.
But that's not okay. But here's
and
the
so
thing.
It really
the character,
wasn't. A, it
character
wasn't,
is not a function of her performance. The character was a function of the writing.
Right.
I mean, she did an.
She did.
Call out one particular scene. The scene very early in the movie, right after Holly Hunter gets there in the bedroom with her mom, where she's reading the Dear Abby column to her.
Yeah.
That right there is classic Anne Bancroft. And it was what I thought was an excellent performance from her.
Yeah, it didn't sell me as much as the other two characters, just because I think they worked beyond the director.
Well, and I also think that it doesn't help that she wasn't a likable character. The character itself wasn't a likable person.
Maybe, but I mean, for me that really wasn't it. And I mean, because Robert Downey Jr.'s character was likable. I thought he was just... I didn't care for
did you find
his performance.
Early on, he was very irritating.
Because I thought in the very beginning of the movie, for the first half of the movie, her younger brother irritated the shit out of me. And I just wanted to...
Not really.
He just irritated me.
Well, he was being a younger brother.
He was fulfilling
his role in her life. So, I mean, he was doing exactly what she wanted him to do.
Except she didn't.
By being a jerk.
When she called him from the plane, and she was fragile, there was an opening there where you realized that her younger brother was her lifeline and her stability when it came to family. And she was under the impression he wasn't going to be there. And with him not being there, she didn't think she was going to make it through the weekend.
But he shows up and is himself. In the way that she understands him to be, he puts on that role of being the jerk, little brother.
She's pissed that he's not going to be there because she knows he's not going to be that guy there. But then he shows up and he's that guy, and then she's happy with it.
But then later he shows, you know, when he's joking with her and they're cutting up and she's sitting on his lap and they're having a good time. You can see that's their relationship. That's the basis of their relationship.
When he and Dylan McDermott are crouched down behind the counter listening to her talk to the guy that's repairing
David Strainer, who's an awesome actor,
because the drunk driver came across the Meridian and killed my family. I can hear in the other room having a younger brother. I can hear him and Roy snarking underneath the countertop, and when I get done talking to this guy, I'm going to walk to the other side. I'm going to kick the crap out of him because he's making snickering noises in the other room.
I know, this guy's burying his soul.
Oh.
Well, and part of the explanation for how annoying Robert Downey Jr.'s character is early on and how much of it just jackass he is, he's compensating. He's covering. Because there's no question that his parents know he's gay,
mm-hmm.
but it's not talked about, and it's not confronted, yeah. and it's not dealt with.
It's don't ask, don't tell.
Yes,
and very much. And I mean, that's it.
Having lived in a family where that has gone on, that was a really accurate portrayal. That whole storyline.
Also have no experience with this. Well, see, openly gay members of my... This is a product of the fact that my family is 20 years younger than your family.
This is... Well, yes, very much so. And mm-hmm. actually, my family is 20 years older than his family. We have a family member that, to this day, every cousin goes, I'm pretty sure, but I don't want to judge, and I don't care, because I love Aunt So-and-so, and I've always called her, but I just don't. And see, I'm being really careful because I swear to God we've got to hide this episode.
Because you get drunk.
No, not even that. No, it's not even that. Because there's the question of...
They don't listen anymore.
God, I hope not. I hope none of them figure
family
out
doesn't listen anymore.
Not a podcast or anything. I have an aunt that has been living with the same woman for 30 years. They were both school teachers. One was a nun. Anybody want to make a judgment?
Ooh.
Anybody want to make a judgment call?
She was married to God.
She was, and then now she's not.
She switched teams.
She's had an affair.
I'm not even going to say what her name is, because her name would actually even push it farther into the what are we asking. But, you know,
she might be a lesbian.
But Libyan? What? Okay. The Libyans?
She might be Lebanese.
The Libyans! I gave him a case full of pinball parts.
You got a bomb case full of pinball parts.
Exactly, but I guess it was because one of the reasons that I really enjoyed the movie, before we go into the... What am I missing?
She divorced God?
She divorced God, but she kept teaching, so we're kind of confused. That is a hell of an alimony settlement, dude.
That's repentance. Keep teaching.
For Olivian?
Yes, he does. God always loses in court because he has no lawyers. Where do you think all the lawyers go when they die?
He doesn't show up for court.
Yeah, he doesn't show up. I think
that's what I'm saying. He's got other stuff going on.
All right.
But I guess one of the reasons why I really enjoyed this movie is it was recommended to me by my cousin, who she and I have been very close since we became... When we were younger, we were not close. When we became adults, we became very close. And we had a discussion about... She rented this movie. She and her brother both lived in St. Louis, and she rented this movie over Thanksgiving to watch with her parents. And her mother, halfway through this movie, stood up, turned around, and screamed at her and her brother, is this what you think of our family? Is this what you think is going on? What is wrong with you? We are not like this. There was Kermit arms. There was weeping.
It was Kermit arms.
And my aunt, I'm not kidding, and my aunt left, and my cousin, and I quote, she didn't speak to me for a full day. And my question was, did you call it a win? She said, yes, I did. So I went into this movie thinking, this is a movie that already I know describes our family, because everybody in my generation says things like, we're ADHD, we're crazy, our parents are ADHD, we're all insane, we drink too much, we smoke too much, and the generation above us gets very angry when we bring these things up, and they deny all of it. I mean, you could look at them and say, but the sky, it's actually blue. And all of the aunts and uncles would say, why would you think it's blue? It's obviously not blue. Our family's not, we're not blue sky people. Why would you say that?
That's weird.
But it's the way so I went into the movie thinking that it was a movie that described my family, and after watching it the first time and having to stop it repeatedly and pick myself up off the floor, I wanted to watch it again.
And this movie speaks to you in this, and doesn't speak to you, Adam, in the same way. And it's the same thing when you say that Lost in Translation is the stupidest movie you've ever seen.
Which I still need to say.
It's, no, it's don't bother.
I think it's a product of age and experience.
I don't think that's a product of age and experience.
I completely believe it is.
To keep this from being the All About Sarah's Family Dysfunction podcast.
It's not dysfunctional. We're fine.
Damn it. Have another drink.
Shh. Young drink.
I tell you how awesome my family is.
We're big pants, people, for God's sake.
I have three brothers, and they are exactly like me. So when I show up, it's like hanging out with me, only three of them. It's freaking awesome.
I thought Ben was a fag.
No, he's married.
That's the joke. Yeah, anyway.
Oh, yeah, Ben's straight. All my brothers. Maybe not the youngest one, but I'm pretty sure all my brothers are straight.
There's a little element of doubt there.
Well, my brother's 15. So,
he can still go either way.
No, I'm just saying, yeah. But the thing is that I moved out of my house when I was 18, right? Mm-hmm. So it was 8 years ago. When I moved out, he was 7.
Yeah.
So I haven't lived with him for 8 years, so I can't say, yeah, I mean, he's getting straight, because I just don't hang out with him that
much. Well, it was the same thing. I was 11 years older than Francis, so when I moved out, he was 7. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Could
the other two are 4 and 6 years younger than me, and I grew up with them. So
I'll do it. Jim, I will totally do. Oh god. Adam just flinched. Everybody take a drink. Adam just flinched.
It was an all male high school. Listen, when there's a lot of rapid movement, what you do is you cover your nuts and you start shifting away from it. It's the cover and shift. Get one hand down there because you can do that quick, and then you start moving.
I'm trying to remember who recently I reached out and did the... It was one of my cousins, actually. My cousin Jason was standing, and I was sitting, and he was being an ass. And I reached out and did the back of the hand right to the inside of the thigh, and he literally fell over on the deck. And I looked at him, and I said, "You may still be the baby of the family, but no one buys that anymore. You're a firefighter, dude. Nobody buys that anymore."
I give Rob Justice a wiener tap at Archon twice.
Oh.
Once, the second time, he felt it.
Well, that's because Rob wears pants that you can hide a small South American nation in.
Well, yeah, the first time I did it, and it was like, you could hear, poof.
That was it.
Well, and some little, Ecuadorian kid went, ow!
Exactly.
See, that's the problem of being raised with brothers, is you learn the most awful things.
Well, and the reason he was doing it was because somebody was getting boob punched.
Well, who was that? Who was getting boob punched?
It was funny.
God,
it was hilarious.
I was trying to encourage her to
Can
give him the wiener tap.
Can I explain to you that I want Rob to actually do that to me once?
Oh god!
And I want you all to beat him when it happens, so that you can all.
You're gonna power slam him, aren't you?
Pretty much, yeah.
That was the drunkest he's ever been.
It's so much fun when my wife just lays grown men out on the ground. It's just amazing.
Don't room with Rob Justice. That banana hammock.
But see, I don't care about seeing the banana hammock. That
balls,
doesn't bother me.
Balls are everywhere.
And?
He doesn't wear it well.
Three brothers.
It's just all over the place.
Three brothers, I don't care.
I wear the banana hammock well, let me tell you, okay?
No, I mean, it's just not wears it well. Wears
rubber
it
band
so it's
under
on.
Grapefruit. I'm just saying. Same reason I don't wear a thong, dude. Rubber band under grapefruit. That shit ain't cool. That shit ain't cool.
Okay.
Where were we? A wiener again.
Yes. Balls are everywhere.
He needs to do some manscaping.
All right.
Oh my god, David and Melina. You know what? I think Melina would be absolutely amazing raising a couple kids, but I would have to kill.
Bad news.
I would have to kill Adam and bury the body somewhere where no one would ever find it.
You've got it backwards. Melina would be an awful mother, and
really?
I would be a great father.
Really?
Yeah, you've got it totally backwards.
Do I?
Yep. She'll tell you the same thing.
I've seen you with my kids. You would be. You'd be a great dad.
I'd be a fantastic father. Yeah. Melina would be an awful mother. She hates children.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like kids either. I have three of them, and I'm still trying to figure
the question
out.
The question is, when did the hatred come?
Oh, she actually doesn't mind her kids.
I don't mind my kids, and I actually have met your children and enjoy them. I have friends.
My kids are cool.
Your kids are cool, and actually, if you
spend... The lightsaber-saurus solidified Holden's cool
for his entire life.
Yeah, he did. Done.
He secured every cool point he ever needed in kindergarten that was an assignment in class.
That's
he turned that in.
That's
give that kid a high five tomorrow from me.
Scott Allen about the same age. I had it at a job. I had it on my wall at my job, and people would ask me what it was, and I would just say, oh, it's just something my kid made for me, because they read Give a Mouse a Cookie in class.
Hold
and then they
second.
Give the kids...
Chibi, yes. You have to take a drink now, because you quibbled about the rules in the chat room. In fact, I think that's two drinks.
Oops, Sarah on an Adam technicality. Okay.
What? go ahead and take that for me.
Rich is here!
Hey, Rich.
All right, so
hey,
continue. Rich. Give a mouse a cookie.
Oh, so they read the whole class, Give a Mouse a Cookie, which, if you have kids,
we got to ask
the story is. And they gave them a thing that had space to draw a picture. And it said, if you give a blank, then you have to give them a blank. And Scott Allen put in, T-Rex a person, you have to give them a Pepsi to wash it down.
Sensible. Very sensible.
And
that's fantastic.
It is fantastic.
And there was a phone call from the counselor.
Seriously? There was a phone call from the counselor, because it was the same counselor when they were in grade school, who was an amazing woman. She was absolutely amazing. She called me and said, so Scott's teacher wants me to call you, but I already know you and know the kids, and I just want you to know I called you about the picture Scott's bringing home today. And I'm like, all right. She's like, don't worry about it. It's all good. I get the picture out of the backpack, and I'm like, ha, 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 ha. It's going up in my cube at work. How about that? Because that's
that
pretty
is fantastic.
Awesome.
Rich McKee just won.
How did he just win?
If you give a prostitute an STD, you have to give them a bigger tip. Rich, I always give them a big tip.
No,
just the tip.
Just the tip.
Oh, God. Now everybody has to drink. That was a rule.
That was only on a pro tip. Mm. Which prostitute tip?
Pro tip.
That's good.
So are we going to... So
are we talking about this movie? I'm fine not talking about this movie, honestly.
You don't want to argue with me?
What's there to argue?
By the way, I just want to announce that this episode is going to be titled Sarah and Chris Fail.
You know what, though?
Is there anybody
it's a matter of perspective.
It is
a matter of perspective and experience.
I come from a family. My family, obviously broken, for the simple fact of my parents divorced when they were 10 because my dad was gay. My dad's family, very conservative.
I must say, good reason to divorce.
My dad... Yeah, anyway, how about you... Yeah, you need to sit back.
Look, Sarah has to drink.
Yeah, that's a good idea, dear. Because there are 8 guests, and one of them could be my sister. So, the simple fact is my dad's family is very conservative and very not down with the whole concept of him being gay for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
That has since changed, but this the awkwardness of this whole thing reminded me of holidays with my dad's family. And then there were other aspects of it that totally reminded me of holidays with her family.
Oh, God.
And in that, finding the ability to be able to laugh at that because you're not in the situation shows a sign of success in the movie.
Yeah.
I think every situation, regardless of my involvement.
I think for what the movie was trying to do, it even had some serious flaws. One of the big problems I had with the movie, and getting to a very specific scene, was when we find out that that in fact Jack and
Tommy are still together.
And not only are they still together, but they're married.
Yeah.
And my biggest problem is that he didn't tell his sister. He didn't tell Holly Hunter.
Except that in 1995, at the time, and I'm going to say this from having a gay uncle and a gay cousin who have always been out.
Right.
There's been no question on both sides of the family. In 1995, there would have been no discussion of a marriage because there was no concept. I remember watching this and thinking, my God, that's an amazing concept of having a commitment ceremony on a beach with your family of choice rather than your family of chance. Because in my family, which on both sides, we have people that are homosexual, this didn't even exist in 1995
regardless, I think she would have found out before having it spilled.
I got the feeling it was fairly recent.
It was only three months.
Okay.
Yeah, they had talked about it. It was only 3 months, and it felt to me like it was one of the things he was going to tell her.
He didn't want to tell her on the phone.
Yeah.
And her sister was being a snot. Look at that. I used the right word. Without the explicit tag. Her sister was being a snot.
Oh, we already got
you. You can say bitch. It's fine.
Yeah, no, she was being a twat. Well, she was actually being.
There you go.
Explicit tag.
You know what? I hate that actress, too.
I adore her because every time I see her... What else have I seen her in?
She was Dead Like Me.
She was the mom in Dead Like Me, where she plays the exact same character.
The word moist she thinks is pornographic. Except I loved the mother in Dead Like Me because by the time you get halfway through the first season, you get to see so much more of her.
Oh, yeah, when the show starts sucking because Bryan Singer left.
Anyway, we're not discussing Dead Like Me.
Did you know they made a movie last year of that?
Yeah, and I
didn't even bother.
Don't bother.
Oh, I started it the other night.
But one of the things is, in 1995, which was, you know, I graduated from high school in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin, who is gay, is only a year older than me. In 95, being married, even a commitment ceremony, wasn't something that was popular. It wasn't something that was even understandable by most people outside of the gay community. And that's why when I went back and watched it, I thought, my God, this is such a... It's not groundbreaking. I'm not going to say it's a groundbreaking film. It was just...
Gays everywhere are like, why are we not getting married?
Why are we not getting married?
They did in this movie.
It was just
God,
an
somebody
odd...
somebody let the RNC know about this.
It was just an odd... It was just an odd thing because I had family that had committed to each other... But it never had marriage ceremonies. We didn't even think about doing that. I mean, that was so out of the league of what was acceptable, even if you accepted gay family members. And that's why it didn't surprise me that he'd had it done and wanted to talk to his sister, but hadn't invited her, because she was seriously wrapped up in her own screwed up life.
Well, yeah, but just the fact that he hadn't told her before and she didn't act more pissed off than not to have known. I think that bothered me. Because I felt that they were closer than that.
I thought she had more stuff going on at that point.
I thought when she called him from the airplane, that was the first time that they would have talked if he picked up the phone in months.
Yes. I felt the same way.
Well, and here's the other thing. By the time that whole thing comes out, that's a blip on the radar.
Yeah, but those two also had a lot of opportunities to talk even one-on-one before that.
Actually, if... Not
he's
really
in
know.
Boston, she's in Chicago.
No, I'm not talking about the house. Because she's being drug around by the mother from, like, the time that he shows up. Because he shows up in the early morning.
Right.
On Thanksgiving Day.
Well, with the exception of when Leo's with them, because the three of them are in the car together.
To go get her and bring her back. But at that point, I think he's still... He's already figured out that she thinks Leo is with him.
Yeah, and he's
so
messing with her.
He's playing that.
Yeah.
And he's more wrapped up in screwing with his sister and messing with her.
I can see that.
The other thing is...
And he's using that as distraction for her.
Well, it's also very obvious. He's got the emotional depth of a thimble.
I don't think so at all.
I think that's the role he's playing. Well,
I think he was protecting himself. Because when he talks to Jack
yes.
at the end of the movie, and he says, "How is my family?" And uh-huh. you see the gal walking, and it's the same thing that I had somebody make a comment to me that they'd never heard the phrase before. We call it family of choice.
Mm-hmm.
It is our family of choice rather than our family of chance.
It's people that accept you.
We don't get to choose who we're related to, but we certainly get to choose who we're family with if you're going to look at it that way. Because there are people that I have no blood ties with that mean way more to me than the people I have to show up for. Go ahead and put that anywhere. For obligation. Yes, and you know what? That's a great word. Obligations. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? It's not something I go and enjoy doing. It's something that I'm obligated to do.
And that's, I mean, that was the crux of this movie, was obligation. And that comes down to what Charles Durning is doing at the end. When, you know, his big reveal at the end.
I think I mean this.
No, well, not even that. That was just a great character moment.
That was an amazing moment.
Jack, and I think I mean this. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Well, and he deserved
that. He was just honest. Yeah. He was just being honest. And
that was
and for him
that
to be honest in that moment.
With the fact that his son was gay, the fact that he married another man, and
they know this man.
Well, and it was honest, and it was real.
Yeah.
Okay.
But his real moment in the movie about obligation actually, I think, happened before that.
Without
and it was
too deep into the whole thing. I've been involved in that conversation. Okay. It was real.
I can imagine. But I think for him, where he starts getting to the point of looking at his life and his obligations in life is when Aunt Gracie breaks
Aunt
down
Gladdy.
Aunt Gladdy at dinner and just lets him.
She just opened up. Yeah.
And told the truth.
Oh, my Lord.
But the look on his face the whole time she's talking, everybody else at the table is in shock. But he has this grin on his
just
face.
In the middle of the table, she's like, holy shit.
Yeah. Well, she even says it out loud.
Yeah, that's what she did.
Holy shit. But the look on his face during that was like, that was a good day. I mean, you can see the look on his face. He didn't say a word, but the acting in that scene alone was fantastic.
If for nothing else, this movie is good for the entire dinner scene. From the time they start serving the food
until the turkey flies into her lap, step ball change, dude in the face. I just wanted to punch a 12-year-old in the face. Oh, I'm sorry, 10-year-old right in the face. And thank God she wasn't a member of my family, because she would have gotten punched by one of a random assortment of family.
Later on, Holly Hunter even tells her, shut the hell up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Go away.
You just cursed.
But
yes, I did.
That whole sequence in the whole dinner thing up until everybody goes home is probably one of the most amazingly emotionally accurate holiday family dinners that I've seen on film.
Not for him.
One of the things that cracked me up...
And that's why I think it's perspective.
That just absolutely cracked me up was the scene where we need to back up at some point so we can actually run through that.
I don't think we need to at this point.
I mean,
I'm not editing another 90-minute episode.
Because there's really not a plot. this is not a plot
it's
movie. It's a character movie.
And it's a series of vignettes is really what it is. The scene where Tommy looks out the window, and Chris and I had a discussion about this. I don't think she was the oldest sister. I think she was a sister left behind. The one that nobody
Cynthia
likes.
Cynthia Stevenson.
Yeah.
She's not. What's Holly Hunter is the oldest sister.
Right.
Yeah, she's the oldest. Yeah.
I can remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was the sister.
Yeah.
Who was
at one point, they kind of.
At the end, when he's talking about it.
When they show him by the tarmac. Okay, yeah.
She's the oldest, and the dad's holding her, and the two are holding onto his pants.
Right.
Yeah.
So no, he wasn't holding her.
He was holding Holly Hunter.
He was holding her in the image, but not in the story.
No, yes.
Which was kind of funny.
An interesting contradiction, yes.
But it was how he remembered it.
Except for the fact that the story he tells, they're standing on the tarmac.
Right.
He says right down by the tarmac. They're not on the tarmac.
I thought he said he was.
He said they're by
what the tarmac. What I thought was interesting about it is the scene where they pull up in the Volvo in front of the house, and the oldest, or the sister left behind, and the brother-in-law, who is...
Steve Guttenberg. Like, screw that guy. I hate that guy.
Except that he did it perfectly.
Yeah. That's Walter.
That was perfect for Walter. Them sitting in the car, and he said, ooh, they're outside. They're not coming in. Ooh, I'm going to go and get them. And Holly Hunter said, can you just leave them alone? Can you give them a minute? And they're sitting in the car, and he says, I was told he wouldn't be here. I wasn't ready for him. I didn't prepare myself for him. I was told he wasn't going to be here.
You can just ignore him. He starts jumping in my car. This is why he was funny.
The awful thing about that is we have pulled up in front of my parents' house, and Chris has looked at me and said, Why is she here? Nobody told me she was going to be here. Your mother said, and I'm like, just get out of the car and go inside.
I deny this entire conversation ever took place.
And Jessica's in the back seat going, I'll fake a seizure right in the middle of the street. Daniel's come. We can leave, and we don't even have to go inside. I'll start twitching.
I have one aunt who's an ultra feminist, and she shows up occasionally at holidays, and every time she does, Lee and I have a standing MO. I treat her like crap, and then she just submits. Bring me another plate of food. This isn't what I wanted. Go get me another one. Oh, I'm sorry. I must have done it wrong.
That's awesome.
That's freaking hilarious.
Unfortunately, that doesn't work with the...
Because that is hilarious, knowing Melina. That is just hilarious.
The fact that she doesn't go, whack.
Wait, Melina!
I think Melina would be more accurately going, whack.
Wham, yes. And the thing is, literally, we have pulled up in front of my parents' house, and Chris has said, why is she here? Why do we have to deal with her? And I'm like, just get out of the car, go inside, because I'm...
I just spent entire family events at your mother's house sitting on the porch because of that woman.
Yes, literally. He's not kidding.
It's fantastic.
It's, what, 2 degrees outside? Where's Chris? On the front porch.
Is he smoking? No, he quit.
He quit, like, 8 months ago, but he's...
enjoying the fresh air.
Now that
he's not smoking, he can enjoy the air properly.
Hey, Tony. Keeps me warm.
Yeah. Keeps me warm. Yes.
So that whole scene cracked me up on an entirely different level of the whole, I was not told he would be here. I was told he wasn't going to be here. I was told I didn't have to deal with him. And I'm cracking up because I was like, wow, that's happened in my family. Except that if I had a brother like Tommy, it wouldn't have bothered any of us. It wouldn't have made a difference. Tommy, the freakish gay guy that's completely over the top, would not have been the issue in my family.
He wasn't really that over the top, though.
And no,
I never.
He really wasn't.
Never over the top
being gay.
No, he wasn't.
I don't mean over the top as being gay. I mean
just over
taking
the top.
Pictures of his sister in bed and in the shower.
Upper shirt. That
hilarious.
Just taking the picture of his sister with the, ooh, look, you look like a chimpanzee. Whoop, chimpanzee picture. Chimpanzee picture. That whole scene where he was doing the back. Mom and Dad, I know it was 100 years ago, but when you brought her home, did you think that maybe there was a baboon family? A baboon family? Because the pictures, I was crying. I was laughing so hard.
Well, and you know, there's that...
I have a little brother. I understand.
There's that whole him taking pictures of her and the naked picture of her that he showed to Dylan McDermott that completely squicks her out.
Yeah.
I win, Rich.
The
Rich,
picture.
Take a drink.
The picture. Was I naked in it?
Yes.
First of all, she knows her brother, which is what just kills me. She knows his M.O. And that whole thing...
Was I naked?
Shaky?
Part of the
shaky?
Reason, part
Did
of
I
reason
sound
why
shaky?
I love this movie is I have been where she was when she got there, which is I've gotten there, and all I really want to do is hide in the bathroom and smoke a joint and just not deal with my family. So...
Like once you reach a certain age, they want to start drug testing for jobs, and you can't do it anymore, and it makes you lazy, and you got laundry to do. I'm just saying.
So, I think it all comes back to Charles Durning, though.
Yeah.
For me. I mean, this is the movie. And it's his speech, like the second to last scene that he's in.
It's the one where they're in the basement.
Where they're in the basement.
Yeah.
And he's canaries.
Yeah, and he's
Which
talking
I
about
thought, I
and he's talking
the,
about that
I
moment.
See the deleted scenes. I want to see the deleted scenes because when Tommy shows up, when Robert Downey Jr. shows up, he says, where's the bird? Is it downstairs with Dad's smelly canaries? And then there is no follow-up to that comment at all until they are downstairs, when she goes downstairs at the very end and starts talking to her dad. And if you're watching, there's canaries in the window. There's a basement window, and there's canaries in the window.
Oh.
So I wondered if that... From what it said to me was there was an argument between Mom and Dad that they cut out of the movie about his canaries, about the birds that he owned.
Oh, I think the implication was there was a live turkey.
I got that implication,
yeah.
But my point is, I got that implication, but my point was, I just felt like there was some kind of an argument about Dad, that was his man cave, and keeping the live canaries down there. And Adam has absolutely nothing to bring to this discussion.
I watched the movie.
Everybody drank.
I watched the movie. I can't relate with your messed up families. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Are we still hanging around with your aunt?
I mean, listen. That's how we deal with things. We don't hide it. We make jokes, and we make jokes hard. I grew up in a frat house. I work in a frat house. I'm uncomfortable in situations where people are not college frat guys.
My uncle actually, my uncle went through seminary to become a Catholic priest and dropped out and then married my aunt and had a child and then divorced her because, actually he didn't divorce her because, but he divorced her and he's gay. He actually didn't divorce her because he was gay. I know, the Catholic Church let one get away. We're just all very sad about that. But he was having an argument in front of my dad with my grandmother. He'd come back for something.
You have mentioned so many people in a story about one guy.
No, there's many people in the story. So he's having...
You mentioned the whole Catholic Church.
Well, you mentioned the whole Catholic Church. That's, you like mentioned your grandma. You mentioned
people.
The seminary. You mentioned so he's a wife, a kid.
He's in the middle of an argument with my grandmother.
The story revolves around two people.
After tonight's recording, they're going to be new drink cues specifically relating to Sarah.
You think you'd catch it?
No. Okay. I'm not Jack Burton.
And it's a Jameson.
It's all on the reef.
It's all
in
the Jameson glass, so the Protestant in me could totally take you in the side of that. So my uncle got in an argument with my grandmother, and in the middle of the argument, in front of my dad, said, "Well, I'm gay, you know." And my grandmother turned and looked at him and said, "Yeah, I knew that before you married your wife."
Before you married the beard.
And my uncle went, "Really? You knew that?" My grandmother was like, "Yeah, we were all wondering why you married Mary Jane, because it was obvious you were gay."
The name.
We didn't want to say anything, you know, it's just, what are you going to do? So in my family, there is layers upon layers of hiding that shit. And the adults don't think so, but looking upwards, the kids certainly do.
Which we'll make sure Sarah does that.
I'll make sure we do that. And it will involve Francis. Everybody take a drink.
Why am I taking a drink at the mention?
Because I mentioned Francis.
Oh, no, making fun of Francis specifically. Yeah.
Francis is a dork. Take a drink. Oh, wait, that's just an obvious statement.
That's not making fun of him. That's just stating fact.
All right. So, to wrap up.
I know. I also thought the scene...
Hold on. She hasn't talked enough.
Why did I get in?
Oh, no, hold on.
That's funny. Why did I get in?
Go ahead, wrap up.
Why did I get in?
Go ahead, wrap up.
You remember that awkward family you're not used to? You have no relation to?
The awkward family. The awkward family is me.
I was going to say, I've met your dad, hung out with your dad.
He's been on the show.
He has been on the show. And so is Melina. And you say you have no experience with this awkward family. If you guys had, if you two procreated, you two would be the awkward family. Of the bunch.
Bono and the Edge and Adam Clayton would be the awkward family. What?
Larry.
Oh, I always forget Larry Mullen.
Junior. We grew up. Dad only let us listen to one band.
Oh, that's right.
The greatest band.
Oh, they died in a car crash after Rattle and Hum. I'm going to say that again.
Yeah, he's mentioned that a few times on the podcast also.
Simulcrum that pretends to be Bono.
Actually, I got an email from my brother the other day. Dude, we doing a man cast when I come back in town? Yeah. Blind on it. Be good.
All right. So what else? So are we wrapping up? Or was Sarah? Did Sarah have one last point about the movie to make? No, she's not. And she's forcefully not making another point about the...
And I didn't do anything. That was Adam.
This guy is tired.
He's an ass.
Ready to drink.
He's very tired.
And a douche. And a tool. And a dick.
Hey, for the new... What day does New Year's and Christmas fall on this year? Is it a Wednesday?
Friday.
Who the hell made that drink?
Friday?
That would be you.
I don't know if Friday was last year.
No, I think it's...
Well, we're recording on the 2nd, so...
So 9th, 16th, 23rd?
Yeah. 23rd.
Oh, wow, hey.
23rd and 30th.
Okay, good. Oh, the 30th? Oh, wait, no, that's the day before.
31st.
Both on a Friday.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Christmas is the 25th, and New Year's is the 1st. I am so glad Rich is in the chat room to keep us abreast of these things. That's amazing. And then the other Rich chimes in.
Actually,
and by the way, what I wanted to say earlier is California Rich, yes, I know that the hardcore gay community means something completely different to you. And if I wear a pink bandana in my back pocket, what does that mean I'm looking for?
Google it.
No, Rich knows off the top of his head, apparently.
There's more than I want to know about Rich.
I'm waiting to see. I'm looking at the chat room. Oh, Tallulah, did you get the princess down? Oh! Oh! Really? Yes. Oh!
It doesn't block that out.
So the answer is no.
That's interesting. We found a way around the censor.
It's not really around. I mean, you can't really use that word.
That word is cool and everything.
Oh, man.
Okay. Rich, please catch my skin, because it's crawling.
For those of you that are more naive, just Google the hanky code.
Okay, what about a blue bandana in my left pocket, Rich? Come on, is that better? I don't wear pink anyway. I'm a redhead.
Stay away from brown bandanas, that's all I'm saying.
I don't even know.
You don't want to?
I don't.
No, no. No.
Except I just asked.
No, don't even ask. Don't tell.
I don't want to know. I'm waiting for an answer.
I am waiting for the answer.
No,
I could be watching Glee right now. Goodness.
So
no,
can I.
No. I'll take both go.
Alright, so I think this is where we're sticking a fork in this one.
I believe so.
Sarah and I like this movie. We apologize to the cast and to
no apologies.
The rest
it's
of the
better. You know what? This is one of those things. It's just a matter of experience.
I think it's perspective.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways. It's not a classic.
I didn't dislike the movie. I love Cameron Crowe movies. I thought this was a. Is an attempt at a Cameron Crowe movie that failed.
Why is the wrap up more about the movie than the rest of the
Chris would really doesn't want to be the one to edit this movie either. He naps out when it's his own voice.
I don't. That's when I get excited.
Do you get sprung?
I do. I was like, God damn, Drake. I'd kind of like to take that guy home with me and have sex with him. It's just masturbation.
Yeah, everybody drank.
You've got an office. Close the door.
And yeah, I think that's what it was. It was recommended to me by a family member. Of the same crazy family.
Sure.
And I really...
Wait, are we back talking about the movie again?
Not with you. You can hush.
Shh. Hey.
Shh. I told you, you can go. You can go.
Hey.
See ya. Hey. Bye-bye now.
Tallulah, the decision on the movie is, if you've got a screwed up family...
Watch it.
You'll probably enjoy the film. More so than if you have a not so screwed up family.
Oh, don't even say the other word.
A not-so-screwed-up family.
Okay.
It's not your family. It's not dysfunctional.
What word would I have been for saying?
I was afraid you were using the N-word.
My family is fine.
Normal.
Normal.
Nuclear?
Yes. Normal. Nuclear.
Nuclear.
Nuclear family?
Nuclear.
And Adam, your family is not dysfunctional. Hello.
What? There's nothing wrong with my family.
Oh, I'm gonna make a bingo card, and we're gonna do family.
I think you got one thing.
Which is?
It's my mom. She's kind of crazy.
Aunt?
She's really nice. That's not my problem.
Well, good night, everybody.
See you next week. Big Fat Greek Wedding. Talk about dysfunctional weddings.
Bring your Windex.
More dysfunctional families as well.
I was going to say, my Big Fat Greek Wedding, hello, dysfunctional family.
But in a nice sort of way.
It's a comedy.
Yes.
This movie was too.
Was it?
Yeah. Don't make me kneecap.
Well, it wasn't quite Virginia. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, so.
You better hope that was not the liquor bottle, George. You can't afford to replace whiskey on your salary, George.